Our first scripture lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
It comes from the very first chapter of Luke's gospel. I'll be reading the 39th through the 45th verses and then skipping to the 56th verse. You can find it on page 57 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her home. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also obey your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 9 days traveling 80 miles on foot across 3 mountain ranges. What would make Mary, a girl who was probably about 13 or 14 years old, take such a difficult and potentially dangerous journey? Girls and women didn't travel alone in those days. It was too dangerous. Men usually didn't travel alone together either. Even then, people knew, and God's people knew, all about the importance of the buddy system. Mary, still a child herself, had experienced an angelic visitation. Gabriel's message to her was beyond comprehension. Now, it's one thing to find out that you are pregnant, but pregnancy before marriage was an offense in those times that was punishable by death. And even if somehow she would escape that horror, she would be shunned and looked down upon for the rest of her life. Add to that Gabriel's news that she would give birth to God's son. Why would God choose her, a poor girl? Who would believe her anyway? Never mind how she would tell her parents, and never mind how she would break the news to Joseph. But as she relived those mysterious and otherworldly events and replayed Gabriel's words over and over in her mind, I imagine that she remembered that not only did he say that she was going to bear a child, but he also said that her cousin Elizabeth was going to bear a child. She would be a mother too. That was even more difficult to believe because Zechariah and Elizabeth had tried their whole entire lives to have a child. Elizabeth was barren. If it was true, however, that Elizabeth was expecting in her age, then perhaps Gabriel's words to Mary were true also. Could she, even now, be carrying God's son? Mary wanted to believe Gabriel's message. She wanted to believe that nothing would be impossible with God, but it just didn't make any sense. Did the angel Gabriel really visit her? Or was it just a dream? Or worse yet, was she losing her mind? Now, if I were in her shoes, I would have to have seen Elizabeth for myself. If Gabriel's words were true, Elizabeth's swollen belly would tell Mary what she needed to know. The day that Mary finally reached her destination, as soon as Elizabeth heard her greeting, she said to her, "Blessed are you, Mary, among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she that believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. The babe Elizabeth was carrying had leapt in her womb." Our God is like that. Is God not always coming to us personally, blessing and telling us that we are blessed and beloved? Maybe not in the same way that God had come to Mary and Elizabeth, but that's exactly what God does for us in baptism. "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased," is what God says when Jesus later on is baptized by John the Baptist and the heavens pull apart. A little later on in our service, we are going to be celebrating the ordination and installation of church officers. And this is another time when we gather around the communion or the font and we remember our own baptisms, because this is one way that we live our baptisms out. But picture in your mind's eye Mary and Elizabeth that day. Can you see them when they are greeting one another? After Mary has received this blessing of all blessings, I can just see them hugging each other and the tears rolling down their faces. Because Gabriel's words are confirmed when they each see each other, they must most certainly have been true. The Bible tells us that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Now, since Elizabeth, we are told, was 6 months along, it's most likely that she stayed there to help with the birth of Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. What a wonderful place for Mary to be in that time of her life. What better confidant could there have been than her older cousin Elizabeth, who perhaps was more like an aunt to her, someone who knew her, someone who loved her, someone who would have believed in her. During those 3 months, how comforting and equipping it must have been to Mary when Elizabeth shared her own pregnancy experience, the morning sickness, the food aversions, and the joy of feeling the baby kick and move within her. Perhaps Elizabeth intervened and spoke to Mary's parents for her. As someone older and wiser, perhaps Elizabeth was the one to help Mary find the right words to break the news to Joseph. Mary and Elizabeth likely bonded and became closer to one another over their faith in the Lord, over their angelic visitations. How many of us get those? And their miraculous conceptions. Both had sons who served the Lord, and God must have known that they would need each other as life unfolded, because both would suffer when their sons would precede them in death. Through it all, what a blessing their friendship must have been their whole lives long. From the very beginning of the creation story, we learn that we are designed to be in partnership with one another. As those who have been created in the divine image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are meant to live and grow and blossom into the people that God created us to be when we are in relationship. None of us were meant to go it alone. As Ecclesiastes 4:9 teaches, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will help lift the other up. But woe to one who is alone and falls, and has no one to help. A threefold cord, of course that means the two in the relationship and the Holy Spirit, is not easily broken. The Bible is full of friendships that take the form of mentorships. It seems that God intends for us to have soul friendships, that is, friends who help us grow up into the people that God has called us to be and created us to be. Think about Elijah and Elisha. God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha as his successor. The two became so close that when Elijah told Elijah to stay behind while he traveled, Elijah refused, saying, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Elijah was also the only person present when Elijah was taken into heaven. And who could forget Ruth and Naomi? When Naomi's husband and two sons died, she thought that God had forsaken her. She decided to return to Bethlehem alone. But Ruth, her daughter-in-law, would not hear of it. She refused to leave her side, saying, "Wherever you go, I will go." The two became inseparable and looked out for one another. Naomi guided Ruth into a relationship with Boaz, and Ruth cared for Naomi in her old age. And then there was Paul and Timothy. They met while Paul was evangelizing in Timothy's hometown. Timothy eventually tagged along with Paul on his travels, and the two became so close that Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy while he was in prison in Rome a few months before he died. One of his last wishes: to see Timothy. Who have been the Elizabeths or the mentors in your lives? Who has God put in your life that helped you grow up into the person that God created you to be? I've had several. They don't have to be female. They can be male or female, of course. They are people that God puts in our past to help us grow in our spiritual journey. Many of us have been blessed to have parents and grandparents who have done just that, who have taken us to church, who have taught us to pray, who have made sure that we went to confirmation class and that we were confirmed. One of my fondest memories that sticks with me still to this day from my childhood is of my maternal grandmother, my Grandma Bishop. I would go and visit with her during the summer. Sometimes I would go when there was vacation Bible school in session, and of course she was always involved in that. She was more at home at church, I think, than she was at her own home. And she would take me around the church, and everyone that would cross our paths, she would put her arm around me, and she said, would say, "This is my little Donnie, my pride and my joy." Well, she would say that even when I was a teenager, and it was a little embarrassing, but those words have stuck with me and have been a kind of blessing, just like Elizabeth blessed Mary. There have been several pastors who have been Elizabeths to me. The Melanie Hammond Clark was the first female pastor that I ever knew. She was associate at the Wallingford Presbyterian Church when I lived there, and she gave me a glimpse of what it might look like to be a woman who was a pastor. Reverend Dr. John Ragsdale, my former pastor in Jacksonville, he encouraged me before I went to seminary to preach at the church. and introduced me to preaching greats like Barbara Brown Taylor and Fred Craddock. And then there's Gary Waller. The Reverend Gary Waller was an affiliate pastor at the church that I served in Gainesville. And he was there for me and was my pastor, especially in 2010 when my dad passed. One of my Elizabeths is my best friend from seminary, Katie. Katie and I became instant friends, and we bonded over the terrors and rigors of seminary. Katie is the big sister that I never had. When I went to seminary, our daughters were 5 and 3 years old, and so Katie and Bob became Emily and Kate's surrogate grandparents. We have become lifelong friends, and we make sure that we see each other in person at least once a year. Whether male or female, every Sunday school teacher, every youth group director, children's ministry director, moderator can fill the role of Elizabeth too. We all need Elizabeths at every age in our lives, someone who will listen to us, someone who understands, someone who can guide and share the blessings, the words of affirmation as Elizabeth did for Mary. We all need an Elizabeth, and God calls us to be Elizabeths to others. To listen, to guide, and share blessings of affirmation to others. Who has God called, or who is God calling you to be a mentor even right now? Those of us who have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews are often natural mentors to them. And God calls us to mentor, to be an Elizabeth to people beyond our families of origin. We were never meant to go it alone. Today we have the joy of installing and ordaining church officers. When we are ordained in the PCUSA, we are set apart to serve in particular ways according to the gifts that God has entrusted to each and every one of us as either elders or deacons, but none of us do this alone. Leadership in the PCUSA is a team sport, and we all know the expression that there is no I in the word team. Those being ordained and installed will affirm 9 vows. They are the same for deacon and elder, and whether it's a teaching elder or a ruling elder, with the exception of the very last one, and then they are customized. My 2 favorite ordination vows are number 5 and number 8. The second half of 5 is my favorite. Will you be a friend in ministry among your colleagues in ministry? And then number 8, which says, will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Maybe you've seen the t-shirt. I think that one is probably the most favorite of most people. When we are installed to serve either on the session or the diaconate, we make decisions after we listen to one another, after we listen for God's wisdom. Each of us have been given a bit of holy imagination. And when we come together and bring those gifts and bring that holy imagination, we can see things that we just can't see alone. Each of us have been given that holy imagination to use to best love God and others, to make God's kingdom on earth a reality. Now, perhaps more than any other time in recent history, we need to rely on our holy imagination to understand how God is calling us to be and what to do as a church in our own time and place. We care best for one another when we work together in our individual lives and on our ruling boards. God sends us Elizabeths and also calls us to serve as Elizabeths, to make a greater impact for the Lord than we could ever make alone. Even though Mary said yes, if she hadn't had the gift of Elizabeth's affirmation, love, and support, who knows how things would have turned out? Who has been an Elizabeth in your life? Who has God asked you to mentor, or who may God be asking you to mentor even now? Mentoring blesses the one who is being mentored and the mentee. Everyone is enriched in the process. Best of all, mentoring friendships are God's idea to advance God's kingdom of hope, peace, joy, and love. I invite you to pray with me. Holy and transcendent, please remember to join us for a time of fellowship and refreshment following the postlude, and now receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen.